1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
All right, let's see. Let's take stock of the show so far today. I think, we did a great bit. Bob Green interviewed, and he talked about giving lap dances to your wife, lap dance lessons to your wife or your girlfriend so that she can do it for you. And, of course, we love that bell. Well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's coming up, or you already heard it, depending upon where you're listening to the show. 1-800-449-8686, the number here, and just a couple of notes, one of them having to do with Friends, the fact that the show is going to end its run at the end of next year after it was decided they would finish it out next year, $1 million an episode per actor. Now, I asked this question because I heard from my dear friend Janice Ungaro that the show was going off the air, and I said, okay, so it's going off the air because they decided not to do it? She says, yeah, the actors have decided they don't want to do it anymore. I said, well, what are they going to do after that? And she goes, film projects? And I thought, I don't know what film projects they'd be doing because the ones, what they already did, they ain't too good. Unless, of course, you liked Rockstar, in which case I think is a tremendous thing. Anyway, Sean, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Hey, I'd like to talk about that announcement on the Olympics. What happened to, like, the good old days, like ABC's Wide World of Sports, some commentators who took, like, pride in what they were doing? I've got 11 channels of NBC to watch the Olympics, and I can't understand what the hell any of them are talking about.
I mean, really? What don't you understand? What are you not getting?
I mean, they blabber on about ridiculous just, I mean, I watched, let's say, you know that new sport? I was interested in that what they call curling?
Yeah.
Where they sweep their way to victory? And they toss those little like weights down, and they're
slide them on the ice. Yeah,
yeah. So I'm watching that, and I'm trying to pick up how it's actually done because one of the channels was talking a bunch about it. So I'm trying to pick up how it's, and I can't understand a damn thing. I mean, you get
do they have like a curling guy that tells you?
Yeah, no.
What you want them to do here? Just sweep the ice away. Is it a Scottish guy?
Yeah,
he's tough to understand.
Yeah, and how are you even supposed to pick up any of these new sports? You can't pick up any of these new sports at all because they don't have knowledgeable people in the sport commentating it. I mean,
I think they ought to take these people when they get off the air and hit them,
strangle them.
Well, hit them with things, hit them with bats, pans, anything. Let me ask you a question, Sean.
Yeah.
Let's start with this. Can you open your front door?
Can I open my front door?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I think what we need to do is we need to take these people, when they get off the air, this Tom Hammond and his pal Scott Hamilton, all of them, and put them in the trailer where all of the broadcast coordination is done, where all of the technicians sit, and hit them with things. Hit them with things, 2x4s and bats, and then
throw their
bodies at the freaking door, and then next, bring in somebody else.
I mean,
I don't know why I got to take their word for it. That was an absolutely perfect score. Oh, really? Well, I don't believe you. I think I'll wait for the judges. What do you think about that? Well, no. The judges are full of crap. This was a perfect score. Well, I don't think they're full of crap. I agree with them. I think that the Russians were way better than those Canadians, and I ain't taking your word for it just because you skated around like a fruit once upon a time many years ago, because it was either that or hockey, and you didn't want to get hurt.
Yeah. How do you judge what somebody else is thinking? These are supposed to be, the judges are supposed to be professionals in the sport.
Yeah, those are the guys that know what they're doing, not Scott Hamilton, not the what's-her-face. And she's a Canadian anyway. Of course she's going to be biased.
And what the hell Scott Hamilton got to do with anything?
Oh, he does Disney on Ice. He thinks he's freaking all that because he does Disney on Ice.
I think he's got a little sugar in the tank myself, buddy. Man, that guy.
You do?
Yeah.
Hold on. I want to talk to you. I like you. I like you a lot. I want to invite you out for a drink. Hold on. Let's get his number. Get his number and his address and find out what he likes to eat. see what kind of wines he likes. I want to send him some flowers, really. You know the people that I use. 1-800-449, get his shoe size. That's also important to me. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. David, hello.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, I just like to say that I really enjoy your show, especially Bobby Dooley. I think she's...
Twisted.
Well, you know, do you have a visual picture of what she looks like? Because I have a picture of what she looks like about 5'5",
yeah,
about...
Yeah, I do. I do. Did you ever see the movie Leaving Las Vegas?
No.
Well, there's a character in that movie played by Laurie Metcalf who is just got Bobby nailed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
But, yeah, I have her pictured about, average height, about 5'5", about 240, about mid-40.
No, you're all wrong, man.
Really?
Yeah, you're way off. Get out of here. And that mm-hmm you did, that sucked, too. Scott, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, how's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, I was wondering, Joe Dickhead made a fatal prediction.
Yes.
A few weeks ago.
Yeah.
He
blew his brains out on the air.
He did?
Yes, he did.
When was that?
He missed.
I got the backstage pass. And
you didn't hear the backstage? Okay, he did it. Didn't he do it the Monday after the game? He shot himself, and he missed, and it took like 3 tries, and he finally did it.
I'll have to check that out.
I don't think he's dead. I think it's a flesh wound.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd hate to. It's a good bit.
I would hate to have the cat just, like, gone. I mean, we got to bring him back next year, don't we?
That's true.
Well, he told me that he made that prediction just to get some interest created for the Super Bowl, because if it was, nobody wanted to watch it, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the same thing happened to R.C. Collins, right?
Yeah, R.C. died, and he flatlined on the kidney machine, and then all of a sudden he's back, and he's going to military school. He's no longer into goth. He's not sucking his own blood out of his finger. He's in military school.
You know, he actually got me onto your show. He's my favorite.
R.C.? Yeah, he wants to have skull sex with Osama bin Laden.
Can I give you my favorite film moment?
Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. It's when R.C. Collins, first one I ever heard, he wanted to get on the Jackass show on MTV.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yes, I do.
Tell
us all about it. Tell my listeners who don't know what we're talking about.
All right, so R.C. and his friend Chris Sorensen. Who is Chris Sorensen?
Chris Sorensen's just some kid he hangs out with. He's in his class. He's a fellow dork.
Okay.
You know, the two of them put on capes and go and eat barbecued chicken and stuff.
So Chris Sorensen and R.C. buy this old-fashioned washtub. R.C. stands in it. They pour quick-drying cement in around his feet. They push him into the pool. And then R.C. is going to chip himself out with a hammer and chisel.
Yes.
And
they'd get on Jackass with that stunt. Yeah.
The show will get blamed and not him.
The show will get blamed if he dies and not him, yeah. That was right in the middle of that whole Jackass controversy. That worked pretty good.
Yeah, those guys.
That was when it happened, those knuckleheads. Do you remember that? We saw it in my office. I got to tell you, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. This guy tried to jump up higher than the car, and he hit the windshield.
What an idiot.
I think he hit the windshield. You've got to be you have to be a jackass.
Yes, you do.
Now, what happened to those guys now?
I don't know.
Tom Green. I know Tom Green is up for a Golden Globe.
Yeah, that's right.
But, but Knoxville, is he?
I still see it.
Craig says, is it in reruns or something?
I don't know.
Does he own that? This is a very interesting question. Does Johnny Knoxville own the rights to that show, or was it purchased from him by MTV? The reason why I ask that question is I think there's some question as to whether Beavis and Butthead is owned by MTV or whether Mike Judge still has rights to that show. I mean, that's a multi-million dollar franchise, Beavis and Butthead. And I would imagine Jackass is, at least in rerun. But what I think MTV, well, I don't know, but a lot of networks will buy the rights of the show away from the creator because the guy is so hot and bothered about getting himself on TV, he forgets that he's signing his life away. Wild. Thanks for calling, man.
All right, man.
Goodbye. But do you think that's going to happen to me? Do you think that's going to happen to Phil Hendry with that much-touted NBC deal that we've been hearing so much about? And you've been hearing so much about it because I've been talking a lot about it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to hear about it. No is the answer to that question. No. Look, I'm going to be 50 next year. That means I got, with good health, 15 years tops in this business, and then I am gone. Don't you think that I'm packing it away? Every single little nickel, every single little opportunity for us to put some money into our retirement so that my wife and I can shuffle over to the buffet there on the cruise ship Already my wife's talking about taking cruises. Already it's begun. Already it's started. Hey, do you want to go to Fiji and we can go snorkeling? Well, what about taking the cruise? You know, that what do you mean a cruise? Well, we don't have to. They do it all for you. See, they feed you. They have three kids that they hire from the islands who will actually take a dump for you. They rub your feet in the morning, and then they shuffle you down to the cafe pit where they serve you gruel. And it's just better that way, honey. It's way better that way. Warm socks and a leg rub. You don't want to go and snorkel and be responsible for yourself when people can do it for you. Already, she's beginning these conversations, and as far as I'm concerned, she's right. I'm going to try it. They're cheap. 1-800-449-8686. Scott, hello, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I love your show, people are, but they're not at the Olympics.
They're not at the Olympics.
Well, I was downtown Salt Lake today. It's like a ghost town down there.
Well, that because they're at the Olympics. What are you talking about? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Los Angeles.
All these parties and events that they say they're supposed to be having, nobody's there. Nobody's downtown. I mean, I guess there's people at the venue.
People are at the venue. That's what they're at. They're at the venues. They don't go to that other cornball stuff. They go, they watch the stuff. I remember when they had the Olympics in L.A., they predicted that there would be horrific gridlock and smog that would strangle your cat. And they predicted that it would be gangs crawling up onto the freeways, capping people in their cars because we couldn't move. Because it was, they predicted a hell, a horror, right out of Clive freaking Barker. And when the Olympics came, God is my witness, the freeways were wide open because everybody took the shuttles that they provided. And the sky, there was no smog. It was the most gorgeous 2 weeks of summer that we had had in years.
Well, I guess that's what we have, except for we've got the inversion that's killing everybody off slowly anyway, so.
The inversion? Is that a Utah thing?
Oh, yeah.
That's too many people converting?
Where it's cold.
Did you say inversion or conversion? You have the Mormon conversion going on.
No, conversion's a Utah thing.
All right, man.
Conversion's a Utah thing.
Let me ask you a question.
Inversion is all the cold gets trapped.
Let me ask you a question. Why are you in Utah? Were you born there?
I was born and raised here, yeah.
Are you of the Mormon faith?
Yes, I am.
Do you practice the Mormonism?
I guess you could say I'm about as Mormon as they come.
More ministry, so you are, and but that's so. But you've got a healthy, self-effacing sense of humor. That's one of your 15 kids in the background. I hear.
That's one of my two. Yeah. That's
okay.
What the screener said. I got to ask you, I'm dying to ask you, though, Phil, what happened to the gay man and gay journalist? I can't remember
his
name.
Oh, Doug Danger. We got to bring him back, yeah. We almost brought him back today. He'll be around big time the next few months because of the Oscars. The Oscars are going to be interesting, though, because I just don't know how into the Oscars people are at this point. But thanks for calling, Scott.
Thank you.
Bye. I could hear his kid doing something that little babies do. She wasn't angry, but she's probably slapping his head as he's trying, come on, honey. Daddy will have to throw you out of the car. When kids get in a mood, they like to bug you. Like our youngest, the little 10-year-old girl. She's always, you know, doing that. And I'll go, come on, what are you talking about? I mean, you're older than that. You don't want to do any baby talk. And then Maria comes home, and I'm tied up on the couch. You know, we're playing some game, and the kids have got me over a spit. They're roasting me on an open spit. And all I can hear is, why ain't it something like right out of the, that freaking Cornell Wilde movie, whatever the hell that was. Why am I bringing up these antiquated cultural references? You guys don't know what the hell it is I'm talking about, even if I could remember the name of the movie. Why don't I just move on? We were talking about Olympics. Naked Prey, 1956. Great movie. They cook a guy. The cannibals cook a guy in a spit. It's great. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I don't want to gratuitously knock what anybody does for a living. It's really, although it is my job. You got to understand, I'm a talk show host. I'm a radio commentator. I'm a sometimes a satirist, sometimes a humorist. It is my job to take cheap shots at what people do for a living. I honestly don't want to do this because knocking television actors, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. You know, they got no defense. They're doing something for a living. It's being an actor on a TV series. And you would write, you'd be absolutely in the right. We'd say, oh, yeah, Henry, you're such a big shot. Why don't you do it? You make as much money as they do? No, you're right, I don't. Could you be on TV? No, I couldn't. Are you on Friends? Do you have like a 60 share on Thursday nights? No, 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 1,000 times no. Okay, then why don't you just shut up? Because I'm paid not to. I have to push forward with my ill-timed, ill-tempered, completely unacceptable, ridiculously insulting remarks. To wit, the cast of Friends will conclude their run on Friends next season and then concentrate on film projects. Oh, you mean like Hang Up, Lisa, that great one you did with Meg Ryan? Yeah, let's see that again. How about Lost in Space with Matt LeBlanc? I can't say that I like Lost in Space. I like the trailer. How about Matthew Perry in The Whole Nine Yards? How about David Schwimmer in That 6 Days and Seven Nights? How about Jennifer Aniston and Rockstar? How about Courtney Cox in Scream? Look, they're all perfectly acceptable film. Although, well, Scream was a bona fide hit, but Rockstar, we'll just move past that. How about, well, The Whole Nine Yards? Hey, Jennifer Aniston was a knockout in Office Space. She looked good. She didn't necessarily act well. No, she was good in that. Look, here's the thing. I think it's a very difficult thing to do. Go from TV to movies. And I mean go from TV and become something big time in movies, okay? You look at Lisa Kudrow, who was in Analyze This. She played Billy Crystal's wife. And you ask yourself, why did they have her in that role? She's good, but she's essentially playing sort of a smartened-up version of the character that she played on TV. What a whole lot of difference going on there. Why not just get some unknown actress and let her take a crack at that and do something maybe unexpected, because we see Lisa Kudrow and we expect her to either be a ditz or kind of be a bitchy wife, which is what she was in Analyze This, or a complainer. I don't know. Someone who looks confused. How do they make these decisions? Do they make them based on box office? Is that what it is? In other words, well, we can get Lisa Kudrow in a role. That's just, we're going to draw that many more people to see the movie. You got Robert De Niro and Billy Crystal. I think that just about does it. I don't know how much more you need. So, I think it's a very difficult thing. David Schwimmer in 6 Days and Seven Nights, just as an example. I didn't see Paul Bear, but I'm thinking of that movie because it's the same schlubby sort of guy that he does on Friends, right? He's confused and befuddled, and his girlfriend is going off, and she's going to screw Harrison Ford. And he's falling down, and he's drinking those, he's mugging. And it's got to be a tough thing. Look what happened to David Caruso when he went into the movies. It was horrific. Look what happened to Shelley. Yeah, I know you're going to tell me about all the people that did it and were successful. Clint Eastwood, Bruce Willis. I understand, and more power to them. And I'm not saying don't try it. I'm not saying don't give it a shot. What I am saying is, if you lock yourself into any kind of a TV career that is, you know, lengthy enough, that gives you enough, you know, I don't know what the exposure is on TV that suddenly is the kiss of death, but there's got to be some series of episodes or seasons beyond which, if you do any more, you are dead for making movies. Like Shelley Long, you see what happened to her, right? Or was it just that she wasn't making good movies? David Caruso, though, sells a mean sunglass down on Venice right now. So go down and get yourself a pair. I'm fooling around, I think. I mean, I don't even know. That's what Chris was telling me. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
888-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I don't know what it is, man. Do they mess with their image? Do they do the wrong kind of movie? When you look at like a David Caruso came out of NYPD Blue, guy was huge. He was huge in that TV show. Boom, comes out of that thing, goes into something like Kiss of Death, which, first of all, he played this sort of, you know, this sympathetic, implosively depressed cop on NYPD Blue, kind of knew the ropes, teaching the younger guys how it was all about. He was a good guy, wasn't he? But in Kiss of Death, he was just this totally put-upon ex-con who's being brutalized by that Nicolas Cage character. Man, I don't know. What am I? What am I, all of a sudden a film reviewer? Listen to me. Stop me, somebody, please. Yeah, Phil, whatever, you know? I mean, the multi-levels of pathos that exhibited by David Caruso completely blows me away. What in God's name is he thinking? The man was a huge star in NYPD Blue. Then suddenly, he has some urge to be a film star. We've seen it before. We've been down this road before. We've seen Bruce Willis. We've seen Clint Eastwood. We've seen Steve McQueen. Woody Harrelson did a fine job in a chair. Only girls working for Milos Forman.
You mean Milos Forman?
No, it's not Milos, you bastard!
I thought it was Mr. Milos Forman.
Oh, please! You insufferable twit! Don't you understand the years the film industry has given to all of us that you would mispronounce one of the great, great artists?
You're spitting all over me.
Tough! Mr. Milos Forman, please, front and center! So anyway, I look at some of the work being done by today's film actors. It's absolute crap. Crap, I tell you. Jennifer Aniston wasting her nubile, fresh, youthful American millennium-turning female on Rockstar. And I found out through personal experience that Mr. Wahlberg isn't hung the way he is in Boogie Nights. I wanted to find out. So I slept with him. All right. No, actually, that is Mark Wahlberg in Boogie Nights. That is exactly how large he is. And I was stunned. I know. Isn't it shocking? That's exactly how big he is in real life. All this talk about a prosthetic. No. No, you're going to have to deal with something. You're going to have to deal with the fact that he is young, he's good-looking, he is really talented, and he has one that big. Guess what? God gave it all to Mark Wahlberg. Suck on that. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. Ricky, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Listen to you since right after Hurricane Andrew.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, I was curious. Is Margaret from Bal Harbour ever going to go out and visit Bobby Dooley?
Moving on. There isn't a day that goes by. There isn't a day that goes by that somebody from Miami tries desperately to be funny. And it always falls flat. Why? Because I said, what do you mean, why? Margaret visiting Bobby Dooley? Because I don't want to do it, okay? Look, let me run the show the way I run the show. Let me create the characters. Let me give them the storyline. Don't come in here with your half-baked ideas about how you think it ought to go, okay? You're a talk radio caller. I'm the host. You provide the raw material. I make fun of you. I know why that guy called in with all of that stuff. He's dressed like Bobby right now. That's one of my loyal Miami fans. That guy is out there dressed just like Bobby Dooley. And he's got a friend named Steve, and will you know the rest? Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Now, here's another question. 1-800-449-8686, by the way, is the number that we give out in the desperate hope that we get something other than that last call. some material other than what we just got from that guy. Susan Sarandon did Malcolm in the Middle.
Huh?
Brad Pitt did a guest shot on Friends, and Julia Roberts was on Law and Order. Why? I'll tell you why. Ego! Because they just gotta tell their friends they were on TV, too. How about that? Susan Sarandon did a shot on Malcolm in the Middle. Well, maybe she digs the show. I can understand that. Look, if you won an Academy Award, Susan, you don't have to do that anymore. You paid your dues. You made it to wherever it is that you think you are right now. You got to go back and do a TV show. That ain't too good. I got to tell you, they don't play too hot. What are you talking? I advise Miss Sarandon. Well, you blew it, Jack, okay? Are you her agent? Yes. Well, you sure did suck that one. Are you kidding me or what? She's got an Academy Award. She's a great actress. What are you sticking her on Malcolm in the Middle for? Well, she happens to be friends with members of the cast. Oh, isn't that nice? Don't you understand? She's got a public out here going, what? The hell's she doing on that? What about when Brad Pitt did that guest shot in Friends? Yeah, it's real great. That was real interesting. They don't need it. Why, just because everybody on that show wanted to go out and have a drink with him afterwards? They wanted to, you know what? Hey, so Brad, really, how long are you going to be doing Friends? I don't know. I'm going to lose this gig probably in another year. So what's going on with you? Hey, I know Biff Wainwright, the guy that you are working with. Could I maybe, I'd like you to read for me. Okay, yeah, that'd be great. All right. Can I also go to bed with you? Sure. Yeah. Julia Roberts was on Law and Order. Why? Her boyfriend was on that show. Now she has a new boyfriend, someone we don't even recognize. But they're out in public. Here's the picture on the cover of Us magazine, Julia on cloud nine and her new boyfriend. She's just happy as hell, Julia Roberts. Every boyfriend she's happy with, she's on cloud nine every step of the way. She's winning Academy Awards. She's got a big smile on her face, big cat-eat-the-canary-crap-eating grin on her face with the new boyfriend, some ditch she's going to dump in 6 months. She's just having a ball. Don't you just wish maybe there's an automobile accident somewhere down the road for her? I'm joking. I understand she's a real sweet chick. And then here's Kim Cattrall. Look at this. She's on the cover of Us magazine with no clothes on. Go out and get it. Dylan, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I was calling because I was wondering if you were going to ever make merchandise and sell it on your website.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
That say, I've had Ted's meat in my mouth or something like that.
Right. We'll do that. Specifically for you.
Thank you.
You got it, man. No, that's coming up. There'll be a merchandising arm of this franchise. Yeah,
all
that'd
right.
be very cool, man. We'll have some cool stuff. Got any ideas? How about some Ted Bell crap? I like the idea of Western Estate stuff. I like
Will you have pictures of the actual guests on your...
I don't know. What's that got to do with merchandise?
Well, because a lot of people want to know what they look like. Me,
well,
myself.
They're going to have to wait on that. But some of the things that they are involved with, whether it's the Western Estates Homeowners Association, whether it's Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, whether it is a Joyful Union Congregation, a prayer cloth or something. I don't know, whatever. I don't even know what a prayer cloth is. I just came up with the idea of a prayer cloth. Is that something you hold under your chin while you're praying? It sounds almost as medicinal or like it's an aid of some kind, like a bucket or a... We have your prayer cloth, Mrs. Breedy. Just go ahead and bleed into that pan. Okay. All right. So you need your pan, your prayer cloth, your just a bucket in case you vomit. All of that. I think what the prayer cloth is what Pastor William Renick uses after he's done blessing a girl, but I could be wrong. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Henry Show.
We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, this is great, man. Kim Cattrall, you know, from Sex and the City? Well, she has a new husband. His name is Mark Levinson, and they've written a book called Satisfaction, The Art of the Female Orgasm. And they're going to share with all of us what they know about lovemaking. And she was out one night, and she was by herself to see jazz pianist Chick Corea. How come none of these people go to see polka music? It's always jazz. It's always some jazz club. You know, I just dig jazz. And go watch some guy in a vinyl vest hopping around a stage with an accordion. You're bugging me with your jazz. I went to see Chick Corea, who's one of my favorites, pianists. And it was at the Blue Note nightclub in downtown New York. And she sat close to the stage and eventually caught the eye of fellow audience member Mark Levinson, a bass player and the owner of a high-end stereo shop on the Upper East Side. Levinson, 55, approached Cattrall's table and performed oral sex on her right there in front of the audience. I had to dump myself because it got a little out of control. If this story sounds familiar to Sex and the City fans, that's because the show's writers incorporated it into an early episode after hearing it from Cattrall. Well, anyway, make a long story short. Her and her husband, Mark Levinson, have written a book, and they're going to tell us all about how you can have good sex. And why is this? Because she's an actress who married a bass player. She's an actress. She married a bass player. Actually, the guy owns a stereo shop. He ain't no bass player. He owns a stereo shop, and on the weekends, he goes into his basement and he plays bass. And his neighbors pound on the walls asking him to stop. So she marries this guy, and now they wrote a book, and somebody published it. Bet you it was Judith Reagan. And anyway, I'm kidding, Judith, if you're probably not listening. We're not on in New York yet. And they published this, and now she and her husband are going to tell us how we can have great sex. Because her and Mark Levinson, well, they did it on the floor at the Blue Note. So how about them apples? How about that for getting your cookies? Says here, the couple married 9 months later, and these days they have such a great sex life that they wrote a book about it. We do it everywhere, said Kim, on the floor, on the floors of gas station bathrooms, even in the back of trucks. Probably the most interesting place that we actually had marital relations was in front of a Cub Scout troop. It was really quite interesting, said Mark. I'm kidding, they didn't say that. I don't want to get sued. It's my way of commenting on people who live their sexual lives out in front of all of us. I don't dig it. I'm not into it. I think it needs to stop. She's like living the character on her show now. So anyway, they wrote about it in a book. On January 24th, Warner Books published their explicit illustrated guide, Satisfaction, The Art of the Female Orgasm. I'll tell you something right now. You're going to write a book like that about your sex life? Then you better have photographs of the two of you doing it. What do you think of that? Otherwise, we're not publishing it, Miss Cattrall. Well, I think that's really insulting. Well, I think it's really insulting that you're spilling your sex life out onto these pages of this book here, including, quote, an explicit illustrated guide. Are there pictures of you nude in this book? Well, I'm not going to answer. Are there pictures of you nude in the book? Are there pictures of you and him in the book? How dare you? I'm Kim Cattrall from the... I don't care who you are! I gotta sell this swill! I gotta sell it to the people that you know what you're talking about! You and your bass player husband! I want to see him, you, doing it! Well, I'm taking my book over to Judith Reagan. Well, then take your freaking book over to Judith Reagan! Some readers might snigger over Satisfaction, which includes graphic drawings and chapters titled Ultra Fast G-Spot Massage and Turbo Tongue. You gotta be kidding me. But Cattrall and Levinson take sexual fulfillment seriously. Oh, wow, how about that? They take sexual fulfillment seriously. And me, I always thought it was a big fat joke. What I used to do is go to bed with my wife and just laugh every time she didn't get off. Have an orgasm, honey? No, I didn't. Isn't that a riot? See, to me, sex is one big gag. Tonight we may have sex. You know, you promise it to her and then you don't deliver. That's funny. Try it, guys. What? You haven't been taking sex seriously? You ought to read Miss Cattrall and Mr. Levinson's book. They take sex seriously. He puts on his glasses. She does her hair up in a bun. She puts on her reading glasses. They do it in a boardroom or some office space. They rent an office. That's where they do it. They take it seriously. They're going off to the office, not a screw. What do you do, Ms. Cattrall? Well, we rent an office in a business park. It's got, you know, four offices, cubicles, and we screw in every cubicle. We take it seriously. According to Ms. Cattrall and Mr. Levinson, their sex is clean and efficient. We have very sturdy, clean, efficient sex. It is in unison and it is synchronized. And if he doesn't do it to me good, I threaten him with, well, you know what, the old gas chamber. Yes. I saw this as an opportunity to help people, says Cattrall, who adds that Sex and the City fans often can't achieve orgasm. The number of fans that I've had sex with, said Miss Cattrall, many times don't get off with me. That must be something they're doing wrong. Of course, I'm joking. She didn't really say that. But she should have. Cattrall speaks from experience. Millions of women have unsatisfactory sex lives, she said, pounding her fist on the table that almost knocked our Caesar salads to the ground and knocked my white Zin over. Yes, millions of women have unsatisfactory sex lives, she said, with the authority of a preacher on Sunday, telling us something that we've never heard before. And then she got up and swept out of the restaurant, minions and paparazzi following behind. And she said from the street, as she was about to enter her limousine, most men don't know what to do. And with that, the limo door slammed, and off they sped to another photo op. Well, she's right. She's right, and you know it. I have been married to my wife for 5 years, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing in bed. I don't know what I'm doing. My wife is not sexually fulfilled. And if you guys are honest with yourselves, you know your wives aren't either. You guys don't know what you're doing. You are fumbling around like children. You're fumbling around like a child with a balloon. You're sticking your finger. You don't know what you're doing. You idiots. You morons. But Mark Levinson is here to teach you. So get the book. Read it. Go to bed with your wife. Screw everything up like you don't know what the hell it is you're doing. Reread it some more. Just read it. Have a cigarette, look at the moon, come back in, and she'll say something like, what the hell are you doing, man? You make love just like a Chinaman. All right, I got to get out of here. I got to go get myself just about three fingers of bourbon and a tumbler. I'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.